Hello, Basketball Universe. We are back with episode 2 of the podcast to be named later. That is just a placeholder name because we still have no idea what we want. So if you have an idea for a cool podcast name, please leave it below in the comments or something. We're not very creative when it comes to this, so that would be appreciated. But anyways, I think I can speak for Connor and Nick here. We are very excited for basketball to be back. Tonight was one of the best nights I've probably had in a while. Just watching two great games, seeing Twitter really lively, and just, you know, having the community join back together. I think we can all agree it's pretty great time of the year, and we're glad to have it back. So for tonight, I want to start off with a very noticeable performance from last night. And I think Nick and Connor both agree that this was very worth talking about first.
Absolutely.
So, sixth man of the year candidate, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He played the fourth most minutes on the Lakers last night in a very crucial intercity rivalry game versus their hometown rival, the Clippers. And he dropped a stat line of 0 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, didn't make a single bucket or free throw or even get to the line. 1 turnover, 5 personal fouls, and a -8 plus minus. What do you guys think about that game?
You know, to put up those kind of crazy stats and 28 minutes of play, that's not a lot of time to do all that. Now, personally, I think if we're going to put someone in the Hall of Fame, it needs to be Rich Paul for somehow finding a way to get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope paid consistently. The fact that he's making any money, he did basically what I do when I go to the gym and run on the treadmill, except he also passed a ball and missed shots, which I could also do.
And 5 fouls.
And just beat people up, which Dwight was doing a lot too. I swear Dwight should have had 11 fouls last night. But
he was hacking. He came back with he was ready to throw hands. Like he was
came
like
back with vengeance. Yeah.
But Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I did the math. He got paid $146,341 to get some cardio in last night for 27 minutes.
You love to see it. You know, you can't disrespect his hustle.
Secure the bag alert.
Secure the bag.
Yeah, but I did post on Twitter, tell me some things that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope stinks more than. So I'm going to read some of my favorite responses real quick. And let me know at the end. I want each of you to tell me your favorite. So I got KCP is worse than studying for a midterm and then getting a 55 on it the next day. Mm-hmm. That's a mood. That's happened before.
Feel that.
He stinks worse than Chris. I think it's Cristiano Felicio. Is that how you say his name?
Yes. Yeah.
He also stinks. Worse than breaking up with your girl.
Mm-hmm.
Worse than Tony Snell getting zero anything in 20 minutes. That was pretty bad too.
That was pretty bad.
Jokic's jockstrap after playing 60 minutes against the Blazers in the playoffs.
Oh my god. Are you allowed to say that?
Oh my gosh.
Jeez.
He stinks worse than people that drive 60 miles per hour in the fast lane on the interstate. That is, oh my goodness, can't stand those people. Let's see. I think that's all the good ones. Stinks worse when you shoot your shot and you get rejected. But he didn't really shoot many shots, so I don't think he could got rejected.
Yeah, it's hard to get rejected when you just don't shoot very often.
Stinks worse than pulling up a playoff game just to see it scheduled for tomorrow. I don't know who does that, but
I personally can't say I've done that before. But
I think the Jokic one's got to be the best here.
Absolutely. That is. Oh my god. That's like. I think that's a hate crime on my ears. Like.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
You can't say stuff like that, man, without a warning of some kind.
Yeah, I'm kind of biased. I had a comment that said he's worse than Virginia Tech, and as a UVA fan, I kind of like that a little bit, but I agree. I think the Jokic jockstrap one, oh my gosh.
Who said the Jokic one?
I'll pull it up real quick.
Yeah, shout him out.
Yeah, while I do that, Nick, what were some of your takeaways from the game last night, the Lakers-Pelicans game?
Well, I was going to say before Lakers-Pelicans. I got some breaking news here from my good friend Adrian at ESPN, LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge just got his next year of his contract guaranteed and will not be in the free agency for next year. So a bad free agent market gets even worse.
Yeah. So the one thing worse than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's play last night is the upcoming free agency class, which is going to be absolutely. Who's the best free agent left in that class? Like
Kyle, not even. I forgot Kyle Lowry's not even in it now.
Not even Kyle Lowry's in it anymore.
Tony Snell, baby. He's getting paid.
Tony Snell was the former king of getting paid to jog up and down the court. KCP took his job.
Man. All right, so shout out to Lori, 24 legend. He's the one that said the Jokic jockstrap comment.
And I hate you for that one.
All right, so now that we got our breaking news out of the way from our friend Adrian.
Also, there was one more thing. That, not NBA related, but Josh Gordon is out for the season. He just got on IR. That's the kind of big sports news.
That's depressing.
Man.
So sucks, but Patriots just got reinforcement. But back to basketball. Just wanted to let the listeners know about that one.
Yeah, so Nick, Lakers. I need to hear about the Lakers. What the hell happened last night?
Danny Green was in his bag, but it wasn't enough. LeBron did not look like LeBron. As a person who owned him in FanDuel, he was very disappointing. He was like he was turning the ball over as much as he was making baskets. Anthony Davis looked good establishing himself on the post. He was bodying Jamichael Green for a little bit there. But in the fourth quarter, when they really needed him, he went missing. That's really what happened. The Clippers just pushed through at the end and made the clutch shots when the Lakers really weren't.
I swear the half the game, every time I would look down at like my phone or something and then look back up, Anthony Davis was posting up Jamichael Green. I swear that's the only thing that happened last night. I feel like, I don't know, it just felt like they kept going back to it. And I mean, it worked somewhat. It didn't work at the end. Clearly it didn't work enough because they didn't get the win. But they just need better production from kind of their stars in those moments. LeBron didn't even have like a terrible game. He almost had a triple double. As Thunder fan, Westbrook, you know, triple doubles, those are cool and all. But really, really, Danny Green probably is like the biggest thing, at least from the Lakers side. He was ridiculous. He was really good.
If he didn't go nuclear, they would have gotten shit on. Yeah.
No, he was. It was like when I was watching J.J. Redick in the first game. It just felt like every time he shot, I'm like, okay, that's going in. Except J.J. Redick was doing it like flying out of bounds and stuff like that.
this man never had his feet set when he was shooting.
No, not once. But Danny Green, he had a few shots for that where he just was like, yeah, you know, I'm Danny Green. I'm going to pull up, and then drained it. From the Clippers side, Kawhi is ridiculous. Just the mid-range. I felt like every time he shot a mid-range, it went in.
Shout out to Lou Will too. Lou Will played really
well. Lou Will did ball out. He's gonna be really crucial for them.
So did Harold, man.
That bench role. Harold played really well. It was so funny how they started Zubac and then just kind of forgot he was there on the bench and like hardly played him after that.
He played 9 minutes and Harold played 39.
Yeah, I don't. Harold honestly should be this. Harold's just the better player. I get wanting him off the bench, but he might as well just be the starter at that point. Lakers are definitely going to go through some growing pains. It looks like the Clippers already have it figured out. I expect the Lakers to be just as good as the Clippers by the time the playoffs roll around. But for right now, the Clippers clearly just gelled better to start.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is, I was seeing this on some other tweets and podcasts I was looking at too. The Lakers just were really missing a facilitator on the offensive side. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like it was like a two-man game. It was like, all right, LeBron's going to bring the ball up the court, and either him or AD are going to try to get the shot up. And if Danny Green happens to be open, they'll chuck it over to him. But, I mean, other than that, that was just like their game plan. The Clippers, it was just way more team basketball-oriented, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely seemed a lot more fluid. And I think – I'm not going to say missing Rondo and Kuzma made the Lakers seem that much worse, but they were, I think, missing that extra, like, shot creator slash – someone who could like facilitate on the offensive side. Cause I think LeBron can handle point, but at this point, I really don't know if that's like going to be a sustainable option for them.
Yeah. They definitely missed Kuzma's scoring. That would have like having someone else to handle the ball.
LeBron James once said, we need to get more playmakers in here. And they didn't really have the playmakers last night.
No. Rondo.
Quinn Cook didn't really do anything that
Rondo
crazy.
Will be interesting, but we'll see how. He's just got to be like
having to depend on Rondo in 2019 might not be a good recipe for success.
No, probably not. But I mean, like I thought they didn't even play that bad. It what was probably my favorite part about it is the atmosphere just felt awesome. Like it felt like I was watching
a playoff atmosphere. Both games.
They really did. And I don't know. It just felt like I was watching a playoff game on the first game of the season. It's clear that those two teams like don't like each other and want to be like the best team in LA. Steve Ballmer ripped his shirt.
That man's a lunatic. I love the clips.
He is crazy.
It wasn't even like a rip at like his stomach or anything. It was a rip at his elbow. This man was going berserk.
You guys see Patrick Beverley like slapping Anthony Davis's chest?
You see Patrick Beverley punching Doc Rivers? We got like really hype and just started like laying into Doc Rivers's chest. And at first Doc was into it, and by the end he was like, "All right, dude, like stop."
I mean, I don't think the Lakers they don't have that edge right now that I think the Clippers have. I don't know. Like, I want to say the Clippers were playing harder, because I think that's very ignorant to say this, to say a team wasn't trying their hardest. But you could really tell there was just like an edge the Clippers were playing with that I didn't really get from the Lakers.
I think it was just the Clippers were more of a team and the Lakers were two players. Well, three, counting Danny Green. But it was like players. It was like one of those. It was like when Duke gets all those recruits and it's like a bunch of really talented guys. But then they play a team that's been together for like 4 years. It felt kind of like that.
And even with Danny Green, I felt like the only time they gave it to Danny Green was when they were posting up and they got like double or triple teamed. And they're like, "Oh, Danny Green's open here. Shoot this." Like, it wasn't like they were trying. I feel like they weren't really trying to get Danny Green the ball, you know? I felt like he was just like, "Okay, he's our next option."
Which, I mean, is good. Like, having a team with LeBron and AD is good to have 3-point shooters who can just kind of take it when you drive and kick. That's the way LeBron plays a lot of the time. Real quick, though, I did just get a call from Nick's good friend Adrian over at ESPN, and the Atlanta Hawks are expected to be awarded Minnesota guard Tyrone Wallace off of waiver.
Holy shit.
At 5.
They've been awarded him?
They've won him.
That move's going to shake up the league.
At 5 p.m. Eastern, which is right now. They just won Tyrone Wallace. That's crazy.
Imagine saying you won a prize and you check it out and it's fucking Tyrone Wallace.
Guys, I feel like this may completely change the slate of games today. That's ridiculous.
The Hawks play tomorrow, so it would change the slate of tomorrow.
Never mind, it will not change the slate. I mean, but the Timberwolves, I didn't even realize they waived prolific guard Tyrone Wallace.
Right, enough of the Tyrone Wallace talk. Ryan, what did you think of the other matchup last night, Pelicans-Raptors? What were your thoughts on that game?
Well, so I picked the Pelicans to win that game, and I thought I was a genius at the beginning because the Raptors looked terrible. They looked like they were still drunk and hungover from the championship parade, because the Pelicans just came out and were just lights out. Brandon Ingram looked like he had a new life in him. Lonzo Ball looked good. He made a three-pointer like right when the game started. Niccolo Melli, the freaking Italian stallion, was just draining threes left and right.
He was splashing.
But after Nick Nurse called a timeout, though, in that first quarter, and then the Raptors kind of gained control after that. But I do think it was a very tight game, and especially Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam. Holy shit, man. Both of them played insanely well. They were so fun to watch.
It was crazy. Fred was looking like Isaiah Thomas from a couple years ago. Like,
oh, I know.
He's just like so tiny, but somehow gets to the rack. At one point, he just kind of said, fuck it, and pulled up a three from super deep. And I was like, there's no way that goes in. And then it went in. And Fred just wasn't fazed whatsoever. He was like, oh, yeah, I knew I was going to make that. And then Siakam proving he deserved the extension. As long as he plays like that, he absolutely deserved it. He looked unstoppable out there. He looked like just a man amongst boys, grabbing offensive rebound after offensive rebound, it felt like, against the Pelicans. Pelicans are going to be really fun to watch, especially when they get Zion back. Like, they would inbound it and Lonzo would throw like a 3/4 quarters pass like down the court. It was ridiculous. It was just really fun. Although he really didn't play much after that first half. He played really well, and then the second half until like overtime in the end, he just didn't play.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, he looked so pissed off on the bench, man.
I'm not sure what that was about, because it's not like the Pelicans had other people coming in and shining at the guard position, so I'm kind of wondering what his role is going to be with the team moving forward.
Frank Jackson did play kind of well. I think he had 9 points in limited time, and when he was in was when they got in that little run and they went up like 5, so maybe in the moment they were just trying to, you know, keep the momentum and not change up the lineup. But I really did think when they had Lonzo, Drew, Ingram, Melli, and who am I missing?
Favors.
Yeah, it was either Favors or Redick. They had one of those guys in. That was their best lineup that they had that night.
Okofor looked good. He
didn't look too bad.
Yeah, they said last night on broadcast he learned he was allergic to white meat, which
I saw that.
Strange development, but a fun fact for the viewers. And also, I want to go back to when Reggie Miller was like getting, he was going insane that saying that Patrick Beverley was the leading scorer in the state of Chicago.
And then the other notes corrected him and he said, no, Illinois. And he like downplayed after that.
He's like, oh, okay.
Only Illinois.
He's like, okay. Oh, just Illinois, not all of Chicago.
The best part though was his tone. He's like, he led the state of Chicago. Like, he was like in awe. That
and
this
then
man
it was
led the
just
state
like
of Chicago.
Illinois, which is much larger, and he's like, oh, never mind, that's fine.
He's like, oh, Illinois is okay.
I think, go ahead, Nick.
I was gonna say, I think for the Raptors last night, I didn't realize how tight they kept their rotation. They only played 8 people the whole game.
Oh yeah, dude. No, they didn't. But, other than I think, what's his name? What's the guy, undrafted free agent that they
Terrence
had?
Terrence Davis.
I think he was as far down in the rotation as they went. Other than that, it was just their normal guys off the bench. Norman Powell, Serge Ibaka, Davis.
I kind of like them doing that, but they're really going to tire their team out if they keep doing that. So they're definitely going to need RHJ and Stanley Johnson to be contributors moving forward, because Van Vliet and Lowry can't be playing 44 and 45 minutes a night all season.
Real quick, can we talk for a second about that Norman Powell game-winning shot?
Yeah, what a play. What a play Nick Nurse drew up like, there at the end.
A horrible play.
They cleared out to ISO, not for Van Vliet, not for, like, Siakam. They gave it to Norman Powell, the dude who had, like, 4 FanDuel points up until the fourth quarter. I was so confused.
And he pulled up from 30 feet out to try and make it.
I don't know, dude. Nick.
It looks like the Dame Paul George play in the playoff game. Except it was Norman Powell.
It was a much worse player in a much lower stake situation.
I don't remember who was on him.
Who was out guarding him? Was it Drew? Was it Drew that was on him?
I think it might have been Ingram. So I remember being like a guy tall.
I want to say it might have been Ingram.
Another miniature NBA report, Timothy Luau-Cabarrot just signed with the Nets. So that's interesting.
Is that from Adrian?
76ers, French legend.
Yeah, he was on both of your guys' teams. Former Sixers and Thunder legend, TLC. Yeah.
I forgot you said
that. He played
actually,
like
Connor, that's per Fantasy Labs.
He never played. Okay, yeah. Sorry if this edit, if there's like a weird edit here. It cut out for a second, but I was saying that I don't know how Marv Albert still has a job, because we were looking on broadcast at Fred Van Vliet sitting on the bench getting his he was like limping. I think he had some kind of leg injury, but he was stretching it out. And Marv Albert goes, I don't know what happened to Fred Van Vliet. He went back to the locker room. We haven't seen him since. Probably sitting all of 20 feet away from Marv Albert and on broadcast. I don't know how he has a job.
Yeah, that man's senile. I don't know if he gets paid.
But, yeah,
Marv Albert jokes on the timeline are always hilarious. Like, people were saying, like, Fred Siakam with the drive, or like, Brandon Ball.
That's like really stuff he says though. Like, you'll see like LeBron go to line and he'll be like, Alex Caruso for 2 here. And then he'll shoot the free throw. He's like, Caruso for 3. And it's
literally, I remember last year the Celtics were playing and Marcus Morris pulled up on a free throw line jumper and he goes, Morris for 3. And then the next possession later, he's like, it appears they've reviewed it and changed the call on the play. It's like, no.
No, they did not. He always does that, though. He never goes, oh, my mistake. He always goes, they reviewed it, and they now say it is not a 3.
They reviewed Alex Caruso, and it turns out he is actually LeBron James.
All right. What did you guys think of the new contract extensions? Do you have any thoughts on any of them that came up over the last week or so?
I'll go first. I know, Nick, I will let you talk about Jaylen Brown since he's your boy. I want to talk about Sabonis, though. I want to say that was probably the most fair and deserved extension out of all of them. I think he's really put up some good numbers so far, and now he's going to be in a starting role. And to have a guy he arguably was sixth man of the year numbers last year, and you have him for less than $20 million a year over the next 4 years, I think he's going to be an integral part of that team, especially with Oladipo out. And I think that was a pretty great deal to get him secured for the next few years.
He was great in the Thunder. I'm sad he's gone now. But, yeah, definitely well-deserved. That's going to be a nice front court with him and Turner. Hopefully it can work out for them.
Yeah, I think he's one of the better high-post players in the league today.
Yeah. If he can keep that, especially if he can get that three-point jumper more efficient, he's like a great option to space the floor. Probably one of my favorite ones is DeJounte Murray. I think he's a potential candidate for most improved player. I wish he played last year. I really liked his game. But 4 years, $64 million. I think he can be really good. I think he's an all defensive type player and a really solid passer at the point guard position. And I feel like if he develops the way I hope and believe he will, I think in a few years, $16 million for him is going to be a steal. And, agreed. But I feel like it's good for, it was good for both sides because he's secure. While he may be getting underpaid for a few seasons, coming off an injury like that, it's good that he secured that money now. So if the injury re-aggravates, he guarantees he has money for the future. So I like it for both sides. I think in the few years, the Spurs got a steal. So.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of people giving Jaylen Brown a lot of flack in the Celtics for that extension.
I might be one of them.
Look, we got to look at some perspective here, okay? We either would have been attempting to trade Jaylen Brown at the deadline with 1 year left on his contract and a team would know they would be paying him like that, which would decrease his value. Option B, we let him walk in free agency and lose him for absolutely nothing, and that's not optimal. Or C, we let him get to free agency and the Cavs or Atlanta Hawks offer him a max deal for 4 years and we match that. That's why it was good to come to this 4 year, $103 million guaranteed extension. I know it's a lot of annual salary, but he could live up to that. People forget in his second year of his career, he was the second leading scorer on a team that was one game away from the finals. That Jaylen Brown's definitely in there. People just like to box score watch and look at his numbers and be like, Jaylen Brown's overpaid. Last year, he had to play a plethora of different roles while dealing with the Kyrie fiasco, and he had an injured hand to start the season, which hurt his three-point shooting. After the All-Star break, he was a 41% shooter from behind the arc. Jaylen has a lot of potential to be very good on both sides of the ball moving forward and could be an All-Star in the East here soon. And that $25 million could be looked at as a good contract when he's an All-Star player rather than now people just trying to roast him and get their jokes off on Twitter.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people are going off it reminds a lot of people of like kind of like the Andrew Wiggins deal. Like he's getting paid more for his promise than he is for what he's done so far, because he has had some good moments. He does play good defense and he did shine back in that playoff run where Kyrie was hurt. And I really think you're right. Even as a Sixers fan, I think he has shown potential to be worth that much money. I just think it's kind of more of a wait and see thing, but I can also see from the other side where a lot of people might be a little bit skeptical on giving him that much money with not having proven that he might be worth that much.
Yeah, it's kind of a wait and see thing. I think he can be a really solid player. I don't think he's definitely not worth that much yet annually, but sometimes you have to pay for what you might get.
The thing is, you want to pay players for what they're going to do for your team, not for what they've done. That's why you end up like the Miami Heat with a bunch of overplayed role players. Like,
yeah,
he can produce that. And he doesn't even get paid that until starting next season. So he has a whole nother year to develop under his rookie scale contract and keep adding things to his game. Like, he worked on his ball handling a lot this offseason, and hopefully that'll be improved.
Yeah. And I mean, always having a versatile player like that, like teams would kill for a player kind of like Robert Covington, who can just a really good defender who can also like hit you a three or make a drive. Like there's a few things you can do.
Guard multiple positions,
handle the ball sometimes. Like teams would kill for a player like that. So I mean, even if he's getting paid a lot, if the Celtics can make it work and he develops and Jason Tatum develops and they become a championship team, even if he is getting overpaid, if he plays the role to win a championship, then I mean, everything's worth it. So.
And it's great not to have controversy over, oh, what's going to happen with Jaylen Brown? Like last year doing the Kyrie thing all year was just obviously a distraction to the team.
Just make players happy. Kind of like what happened with the Buddy Hield thing. He wanted money. He didn't get as paid as much money as he wanted, but...
he still got that bag.
Made it work. Oh, made it work.
He did get it back. Yeah, absolutely. How much money is it annually? Is it 20? No, not 26 million.
It's a little less than 20, a little less than 24.
Yeah.
So,
that, I mean, that's pretty good for him. He's like one of the best 3-point shooters in the league.
Other than people in the Warriors, probably number one, honestly.
He plays well. He can handle the ball for you if you need it. I really like him. Him and Fox are probably the best young backcourt in the league. I don't even know if that's like a debatable thing. He's just really solid. It kind of sucks that his age jumped ahead 1 year out of nowhere. but
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Hield. So he's 27 now. That contract will take him till he's, it's an extension. So till he's 30.
The end of his prime.
Yeah, so like through to the end of his prime, probably. I mean, to get a really good 3-point shooter like that in a league like this for that much money, then I feel like it was a good deal for both sides. He'll get his money. Kings don't have to worry about controversy, and they got a good player locked up for a little bit. So
we should be seeing good play from these guys tonight. There's a lot of games around the league going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I want you guys to each look at the games tonight. I want each of you to give me like either two takes, two predictions, just something about each game. So which one of you wants to go first?
We could go in order. I can go first real quick. We could go in order of the games. So it looks like first one we've got is Cavaliers Magic.
A lot to talk about here.
Probably just what'll be interesting is how much we see out of Fultz for the Magic side of it.
And Garland for the Cavs.
And Garland for the Cavs. Really, it's just young point guards. And then, of course, how will Garland and Sexton work with each other? How will Larry Nance play tonight is another huge question.
Aaron Gordon's got the clamps, dude.
I don't know if Aaron Gordon can handle what Larry Nance is going to be bringing this season, but we'll also see, like, is Mo Bamba going to play more? Assuming he's healthy. He feels like he's never healthy. How Vucevic does. But it should be an entertaining game between two kind of young teams. One of them solid in the Magic. And the Cavaliers aren't great, but honestly, either team could pull it out.
Yeah, and then we got Pistons Pacers. Ugh. And honestly, with Blake Griffin out that game, I think that's going to be a blowout. I think that's going to end up being a 15-20 point game.
It'll be a disgusting game to watch, probably.
Yeah. I think Derrick Rose is going to end up coming in and just start chucking up shots, I think. I can already see it now.
That could be fun. If just see Derrick Rose... Ish Smith. Oh, actually, he's on the Wizards now. Never mind.
Yeah, he's on the. No, it's gonna be Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson, man. Oh, he's
maybe. And Luke Kennard's a game time decision too. I think so. They might not even have him.
Oh God! Didn't they release their starting lineup? Isn't it like really gross?
It's Jackson, it's... Bruce Brown, Tony Markie Snell, Marquise Morris, and Drummond.
Oh my God! Tony Snell. Tony Snell probably shouldn't even play on an NBA team. Never mind this be your starting small.
Right, let's go to the Bulls Hornets. That's a really sexy game right there. I'm riding the Dwayne Bacon Terry Rozier tandem in FanDuel tonight. I think they should have really high usage.
I might join you. What's gonna be fun is how much will Rozier shoot? How inefficient will he?
Will he have any efficiency?
Well, how much will he keep shooting despite how inefficient he is?
How much bacon will Dwayne have?
That's true.
I'm excited to see White for the Bulls too.
Oh yeah, I'm so upset that he's not starting. I get it.
Satoransky season.
I get it. Like you signed Satoransky, but Kobe White.
I think White will play like a six man type role though. I really do.
I hope so.
I'm also interested to see just how like Markkanen and Wendell Carter and how those guys all do because a lot of those guys weren't healthy. They weren't healthy a lot during the same time last year.
Bulls could be a team that could sneak in if everyone plays well. So we'll see how that goes.
Timberwolves Nets after that. Ugh, number 11.
Ugh. Yeah, I really think the Timberwolves could upset tonight. I know all the spotlight's on the Nets with their new team, but I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns, I feel like, could really feast on the Nets front court.
He played really well versus them last year.
Yeah, and you said Kyrie's known for being a slow starter. So I could 100% see the Timberwolves just pulling a victory out of their ass and Nets fans throwing themselves into the fire to start the year.
You can go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, it would be interesting. I forgot. I just remember Culver on the Wolves. See how he does.
Yeah. He'll be a fun person to watch. For the Nets, Torian Prince just signed a small extension.
I thought it was a solid deal. Good for both sides.
Washed corpse of DeAndre Jordan will try and keep up with Karl-Anthony Towns while Jared Allen's not in. It'll be interesting. It's going to be a really weird game. Honestly, I feel like the Timberwolves pulled out. I feel like Karl-Anthony Towns is going to go off, but we'll see.
Yeah. We got Grizzlies Heat. So honestly, it's basically John Morant versus Jimmy Butler in this one. And, I think the Grizzlies are kind of, Tyler Hero's debut. I think the Heat are just going to mollywop them, honestly. Like we'll probably get some highlight plays from some of the rookies, but I just think the Heat are too deep and too experienced in comparison to the Grizzlies.
I think it'll be a low-scoring game, but like
see the Grizzlies making this much of a game.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr.
I could definitely see it being like a 95-90 type game.
Yeah. The Grizzlies are always a grit and grind team, like that huge grit and grind era they had originally. Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm excited to see that he's back. So hopefully he plays a good bit tonight. Him and Ja will be really fun to watch. Beyond that, Do they still Bruno Caboclo?
I think.
Yes,
I
today. He's on the bench.
This has no relevance to the outcome of the game, to be honest.
Brazilian KD.
But the Brazilian KD, couple years away. We'll see how he does. The outside Jimmy Butler's gonna be fun to watch with the Heat. We'll see how Tyler Hero does.
I forgot Jay Crowder's on the Grizzlies.
That's such a weird.
He'll probably start.
I kind of hate that Jay Crowder's on the Grizzlies. It's such a gross.
And they're holding Iggy hostage.
Yeah, they won't let Iggy go. Oh, poor guy.
You see Iggy tweeted out something last night, like, let me live or something like that?
This dude's being held hostage by a currently irrelevant NBA franchise after going to, like, 5 straight finals with the Warriors.
Wow. All right, next we got the best matchup definitely from the early games, the Celtics and Sixers. Oh,
yeah, Nick and I were talking about this earlier. We both kind of agreed it's going to come down to, can the Celtics stop Embiid and Horford in the post? Because we all know they're going to have a tough time driving in on those guys. So if the Celtics can't stop them on the defensive end, nor get some outside shots and some good looks on the perimeter, then it's going to be a tough game for the Celtics.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to three-point shooting with this one, because I don't think you're going to get a ton of good looks with Embiid and Horford guarding the paint. So if Tatum, Hayward, and Brown and Kemba and those guys can sink their threes tonight, that'll be really big in this game.
Yeah, it'll... Honestly, it really just does come down to how the Celtics, because bigs aren't going to be able to stop Embiid. So if Kemba, Tatum, Brown, how Hayward plays, if those guys can try and keep up with the scoring output that Embiid's going to put up, Horford's going to put up, then they can make it a game. But if they don't produce, then they're going to get in trouble quick.
I think we could see the Celtics bring out his own defense tonight. We've done it before to mask Greg Monroe's poor defensive center, and I think that might be another move tonight with the matchup problems the Sixers bring with their big-ass lineup.
I would love to see Enes Kanter try and play his own defense. I would love to see that.
We might see it tonight. Tune in.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so next we have the New York mid-power forwards versus the San Antonio Spurs. So
tonight is the – it's in San Antonio, right?
Yeah, it's in San Antonio, so you won't see your debut tonight, Connor, unfortunately.
Dude, Marcus Morris is going to be the Marcus Morris booze. This is the return we've all been waiting for.
Marcus Morris. I totally forgot about that back narrative. To the team he was signed for like one day.
And I love that Marcus Morris is probably going to get booed the shit out of for like no reason tonight. It's going to be awesome. Quick news on the Knicks. This has nothing to do with their team, which also in the news, they signed Yvonne Rabb, who's a solid player, but that's like the 19th power forward / center they have on the roster. But the Knicks are apparently going to, this season, at every home game, serve Cheeto ice cream sundaes, which might be the worst NBA news of the season so far.
What's worse, that idea or KCP's play last night? Vote in the comments below.
Dude, I think I'd rather have KCP running sprints out there for me.
No, absolutely. At least KCP is a body. Like, imagine what that would do to your digestive system. eating Cheeto ice cream. And, like, already things are, like, super greasy at, like, arenas.
Taste buds
like
have that. Left the chat.
No. I think my tongue would revolt and try and leave my mouth if I put that in my mouth.
Okay, so next, another going off of disgusting things, we have the Wizards at the Mavs.
Another thing,
the Ish Smith show.
Oh, Lord. I like
KP in this matchup, though.
I do.
Yeah, we're going to see how many minutes he gets.
He'll be fun. Bradley Beal's great. Luka's great. It'll be fun to see the tandem, but the Wizards, man, they're just not like it's Bradley Beal and then. Like
if you're listening to this and playing DFS, Maxi Kleber tonight, budget beast.
Oh yeah,
look out.
Yeah, he'll be solid. But we'll see some Boban minutes because Dwight Powell's out.
Oh yeah.
Oh Lord. The Wizards are definitely going to be a team this season.
I think the Mavericks are going to pull this one out. I think Luka and KP are going to come out and do pretty well, and Bradley Beal's not going to be able to catch up.
Especially since it's in Dallas, like the fans are going to be super excited to see that tandem. The energy is going to be crazy for them.
Should have a good show tomorrow.
I'm excited to watch. So,
all right, Connor.
Then we got
Connor's
boys, Thunder Jazz.
Oh God! All right, you want a perspective on this? I feel like we're gonna get destroyed. which wouldn't be the worst thing. I would love a good draft pick, but I see us struggling. Gobert is really, like, really, really good. The Jazz are just a really deep team. Maybe. And it's in Utah, man. Which,
yeah, I'm not feeling very optimistic for you guys. Unless Chris Paul digs into the fountain of youth.
No, I don't see much happening. I just want to see the young guys play well. I'm interested to see who's going to start at small forward. It'll probably be Terrence Ferguson, I think, because Roberson is still not healthy. I swear to God, he's just never going to play again.
So it's like Jacoby Ellsbury on the Yankees, dog.
Gallo will run the four. The starting lineup, so I think, is probably going to be Chris Paul, Shea, Ferguson, Gallo, and then Adams.
It's kind of small, but the Jazz kind of run a small ball out too, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah,
don't they have Bohan at the four? So, I mean, it's going to be pretty similar.
Yeah, and they're starting Royce O'Neal at the three because they want Ingles to be sixth man this year.
Speaking of Ingles, 1 year, 14 mil. Congratulations to him.
ISO Joe?
Another player off the free agent market for next year.
Making it more garbage.
The Suns and the Kings.
This game is going to be like either neither team's going to hit any shots, or it's going to be like 130 to like 125.
I think that's what it's going to be. I really think there's just going to be no defense. Lakers going to drop 40. De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield are going to drop like 25 bombs each at least. I can totally see it happening.
I mean, hopefully it's a good game. I feel like both these teams will be fun to watch at least. Booker and Ayton are fun. Fox is electric. Ricky Rubio, man. Oh,
most
my
improved
God.
Player candidate, Ricky Rubio.
Please don't say that.
The Aaron Baines fan club will be tuned in.
Oh, I completely forgot they have Baines now. Oh, this is a great team.
Wait, guys, it's a revenge narrative we're forgetting right here. It's a Rashawn Holmes revenge game.
Oh, of course. Rashawn Holmes returns to his old stomping grounds to try and take them down.
Aaron Baines took his job, so he's going to be out. He's going to have Baines on a platter. He's going to be ready.
Oh, God. Yeah, if the Kings don't win, I'll be shocked. Kings are good. Suns are okay. It'll be a high-scoring game. It'll be fun.
And then we got what I argue is the best game of the late-night slate, and probably the second-best game of the night, probably with the Sixers and Celtics, is Nuggets-Blazers. Nick, what do you think about that game?
No, I think the Nuggets have it tonight. I don't really like, as we talked about before, I didn't like the Blazers' offseason moves. I think Jokic is going to make Whiteside look like a circus clown. Nuggets have good wings. I don't know. It's at Portland, but I'm like, I know Dame and CJ will probably get theirs, but I just think the Nuggets have too much tonight for the Blazers to win.
I hate you so much. You're the worst. Western Conference semifinals rematch from last year, except this time Hassan Whiteside's there. And Kent Bazemore.
To be fair, though, they did have Enes Kanter manning the five last time. And I mean, Jokic was good, but I mean, it wasn't like insane, you know? Like, he was good, don't get me wrong. But
I feel like the Nuggets should win this game. I could definitely see the Trailblazers beating them. I feel like the Nuggets are just the better team, but I feel like this one goes either way. It feels like one of those down to the wire, almost playoff atmosphere type games like we had last night with the Clippers and Lakers. I could see it going to an overtime. Probably some like really cool late heroics. I'm feeling like a crazy shot from like Malik Beasley or something like that.
That's the Connor pick of the night.
The Connor pick to click in clutch situations is Malik Beasley tonight. And I feel like Paul Millsap's gonna have like a clutch block on Hassan Whiteside. And
make another half court shot.
And I think Nuggets will seal it. I think they'll win, but that's definitely – we have some kind of gross matchups today.
Yeah, there really aren't that many good games other than, like, the two we really honed in on, the Celtics, Sixers, and the Blazers.
A lot could be a blowout. A lot of them could be close, but looking at these games, like Nuggets, Trailblazers, Celtics, 76ers will be fun, or close at least. Magic, Cavaliers could be close. Timberwolves, Nets. But outside
tomorrow
of that,
tomorrow night we got some hype games. Rockets, Bucks, Clippers, Warriors. That should be cool.
Clippers got the Lakers and the Warriors first games. That's kind of crazy.
I'm definitely going to be watching that Bucks Rockets game. That's going to be a really good game.
Oh, that'll be an awesome game. I'm excited, of course, as a Thunder fan, Russell Westbrook, my favorite player. It'll be really fun to see how they mesh. I'm hopeful that they'll mesh well because I'd love to see Westbrook succeed there. But going against the Bucks is kind of a really intimidating first task. PJ Tucker trying to hold down Giannis. Giannis tries to start his MVP repeat next night over. So,
well, Ron, I got a good question before wrapping up the slate here. Do yep. Marcus Smart and Joel Embiid reignite their beef from last year? Remember when he shoved them out of bounds and then got ejected?
I'm going to say no, because I think with Kemba Walker at the helm, I think there's a new attitude with the Celtics. I think a lot of that kind of stemmed from the whole Kyrie quote unquote leadership going on there. I think the Celtics are going to have a new kind of edge to them this year. So I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
Also,
keep an eye on that.
When they had Isaiah Thomas, I feel like that was peak, like, bad boy Celtics, like
the punk rock Celtics.
The punk rock Celtics, yeah. That's a name for it. I feel like just with the past, like, Kemba brings kind of a new thing. Kemba's much more low-key.
He's just
kind of,
happy and nice, you know?
But then again, Marcus Smart he's like Patrick Beverley. He just gets in everyone's head. Nick said this last night, but imagine a team with both Marcus Smart and Patrick Beverley guarding you. You might just quit the game before it's over because you can't deal with
it. Put PJ Tucker at the three?
Put, like, Embiid at the five to just mess with everyone.
That's hilarious.
Marcus Smart's a really good player. I like him a lot. I showed my girlfriend, who doesn't know a lot about basketball, Marcus Smart's flopping things, and now anytime she sees someone flop, she's like, "Oh, it's like that Smart guy." I'm like, "Yes, it is. You are very smart."
So real quick before we wrap this up, and I know the theme of today, I feel like, has been trash. So I have something really trash that I want to read off. It's the Charlotte Hornets starting lineup.
Oh no.
We got Terry Rozier, Dwayne Bacon, Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, and Cody Zeller.
Oh my God, they're gonna have Nick Batum as their sixth man.
And Marvin Williams.
They're starting PJ Washington.
Yep, at the four.
Oh my God, this game is gonna be horrific. It's gonna be so.
I really thought they'd start Williams at the four, but I guess not.
It's like you forget some of the players on the Hornets. They also have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I forget he's a person.
And they still have Biyombo too, right?
They do still have Biyombo.
And Willie Hernan Gomez.
Oh my God, the Hornets. Such a weird team. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was once a third overall pick. How does that happen?
Cody Zeller was a top five pick.
Who?
Have we talked about the Charlotte Hornets?
Marvin Williams was a second overall pick.
Yeah. The massive talent, the massive of like top tier talent on the Hornets draft wise. They could probably assemble one of the more prolific draft positions starting lineups in the NBA, and yet they are so god awful.
Yeah, people give the Suns a lot of shit for drafting badly, but I would argue the Hornets have had way worse luck than the Suns. At least the Suns have had a couple decent players come out of it.
Booker.
Hornets are just bad. Real quick, what are y'all's predictions for wins?
All right, to wrap up the pod, we're going to predict the Charlotte Hornets wins on this
season. We're going to predict the Charlotte Hornets
wins.
Wait,
so are you doing just the Hornets, or is there another bad team?
No, just the Hornets.
I'm feeling in like a beat up the Hornets kind of mode right now. Because who's going to be mad at us, the two Hornets fans?
Well, the Hornets do follow me on Twitter, so if they somehow see this and listen, then I guess I'll get that unfollow. But
sorry, man. But it's okay.
Terry Rozier is going to will them to a very generous 22 wins.
Okay.
All right, Connor.
Oh, man, you know, I'm really low on the Hornets. I'm so low on them. Like in the NFL right now, the Dolphins are one of the worst teams we've ever seen. And I feel like these Hornets could like be so horrific, but at the same
time, they're just so awful. They were so awful last year, and then they lost Kemba Walker and Jeremy Lamb, their two best players.
But I feel like these Hornets are just so unpredictable. They are a walking wild card, and I feel like sometimes you're going to come in the game and you're not going to know if Terry Rozier is going to shoot 3 for 38. Or if he's going to shoot somehow like 28 for 29, like some of those random days he would have on the Celtics. I definitely feel like there's going to be more really low efficiency games. But I'm going to give the Hornets 25. I'm going to give them 25.
Okay.
I'm going to give them 25.
All right, so, Nick, what did you say? You said, I know, said 22. 25. All right, I'm going 19, baby.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's no way this team is winning 6 or 7 more games than the Knicks did last year. There's no fucking way.
Oh, that's
this
true.
Is a whole. This team is so bad.
Only did win. No,
17.
Yeah, the Knicks won 17, and they, I didn't even feel like they were that terrible.
I don't know. I think like they're bad. They were. I don't know.
And they lose like 20 in a row or something like that.
The Knicks almost really have bad. More power forwards than they have wins last season.
There was a time when the Knicks had like. They had lost so many home games in a row that some like college team had more wins than them at their stadium in 2019. I can't remember the exact stat, but it was something crazy.
I know what you're talking about.
Imagine tanking for a whole season just to get the Duke, Andrew Wiggins, and Cheeto Sundays at your home stadium.
I mean, you got to get to the fans to the game somehow, right?
That's it. Oh, hold on, real quick thing. So earlier there was supposed to be an announcement made, and on the final thing on the topic of trash, the 2023 All-Star Weekend will be held in Utah.
Oh!
All right, guys, we'll see you in Utah.
see you guys in Utah.
And, all right, on that note, we're gonna end this episode because I don't want to talk about Utah.
Dude, I need to go book my flight to Utah in 2020.
I want everyone to stop listening and go book their flights to Utah right
now. Book your hotels.
Enjoy opening night and watch Terry Rozier drop 30 tonight.
Yeah.
Watch the Sixers obliterate the Celtics. Scott's going for 2 or 3 threes.
And you can watch the Thunder probably get the shit smacked out of them by a really good Jazz team.
All right, guys, for Ryan, Connor, Nick, this is the podcast to be named later, and we are signing out. Thanks for listening.
See you guys.